Blog Talk Radio.
Father, right now, this day, we thank you and we submit to you. We stop and we allow you to begin to orchestrate and begin to cause our focus to first and foremost be on you, be on all that you have and will and are doing in our lives. Father, we thank and praise you for who you are as well. We thank you that you're teaching us and guiding us and keeping us in the hollow of your hand, protected from all the wiles and the diabolical schemes of the enemy. We thank you, Father God, that nothing that the enemy can say or do can ever be accomplished until after he has talked to you about it. We thank you, Father God, that you, because of the blood of Yeshua, not only washes away our sins, but covers us with his blood, keeps us, and enables us, and it empowers us to live the life, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, to live abundant life that you have placed on this earth for us to live. So we thank you, and I thank you for that. We glorify you, and we long to hear what you have to say today and how you are going to exalt your name in us above the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. We long for that. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I will definitely pass it back to you, Pastor Andre, that I am extremely excited about this particular broadcast because it's going to start to bring a little bit more focus to the direction and the purpose and the call and what we need to be doing as we begin to lean into this next Gregorian calendar physical year. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
You can have it, sir.
All right, and before we go into the recap this morning, we're going to go ahead and open up with our before Torah study blessing with Pastor Doug. So I'll pass it on to Pastor Doug.
Baruch atah Yehuah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzchanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Today I'm going to title my recap, and what I would title what we discussed last week would be fruit in the midst of tribulation. The fruit of the Spirit is something that we must have in this season that's coming ahead. We need to focus on what we need to live, and in order to be sustained. The fruit is the sustaining power of Yah, and it's for our functional benefit. And these are just recap points real quick. Our first scripture from last week was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And what we wanted to focus on was that in times past, we've often focused on the gifts of the Spirit and not the fruit. Now, we've said this for a few weeks now. And what we're realizing, we've looked in the wrong direction, and we focus on the wrong thing. And because of that, we're not able and have not been able to discern appropriately. Now, we are having to rely and depend upon our own individual relationships with Yah more than ever. And in fact, we're having to depend on this individual relationship more than the corporate relationship experience, if you will, church. This has been a byproduct of this year and the different things that have happened as far as quarantine and whatnot. Yah has allowed it for us to step back and focus on our individual relationship. One of the things we looked at again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." You see, the Father equips and empowers, and then he launches his spiritual army. And what we're seeing right now is this preparation where Yah is beginning to work on each and every individual the same in many ways, focusing on their micro level if you remember us talking about the micro and macro in previous episodes, micro being the smallest, then there's meso, and which is like your immediate surroundings, and then the macro being the large, big picture. What we're seeing now is Yah is working on that small picture, the smaller picture. If we recall the first believers, not the first believers, but the believers in the first century, the timing that we see in Acts, they were kicked out of synagogues, they were imprisoned for preaching, they had to go from house to house, and they were persecuted. They were in perilous times. Yet with all of this, despite all of these different hindrances, the word of God through Yeshua, the gospel of Yeshua, the gospel of the kingdom, grew with leaps and bounds during this time. And so we have to understand that as we enter into perilous times, as they become more intense, we have to realize how similar our circumstances really are and how our circumstances are becoming like those of the first century believers. Now, one of the things that's an encouraging thing to look at, and the rabbi mentioned this last week, this is the greatest hour of the church from a micro level. It's a grassroots individual revival, and it's a revival beginning with the individual soul in their heart and their relationship with Yah that will increase and cause a wildfire across this world. We brought up a discussion about a parabola, and I gave the example of a U-shape based upon what Rabbi has taught in years past. But this is showing that we're on the upswing. If the early church was on the top left of the U, and we've gone down to the Dark Ages, we are now on the upswing, coming back up to the level where the disciples and the followers of Yeshua were in that first century, walking and moving in power, with the gospel spreading very variantly. Now, we talked about John chapter 15, verse 5, and this is a very crucial thing for us to understand, this verse here, because Yeshua is the vine, and we are the branches. And anyone that abides or lives in him, and he in us, will bear abundant fruit. Now, we highlighted that abundant fruit because this is the goal. This is what Yeshua, as the husband of the bride, but more specifically, I'm trying to look at the agricultural term. He is taking care of the vine. He wants the most fruit from the branches, that abundant fruit. Without Yeshua, we can do nothing. We can't do anything, to say it on the positive side. We can't do anything without him. In fact, the scripture says we live and move and have our being in him. And we need to know how to apply these truths. Looking at the basic example, Rabbi broke down even just the understanding of what is fruit. Fruit is the byproduct of a plant, but that fruit was meant to eat, to give nourishment, power, and energy. And so we have to understand that without abiding in Yeshua, we won't bear fruit, or abundant fruit, I would say. And without abundant fruit, we're not going to have the nutrients and the nourishment that we need to move and to have the effectiveness that we were created for. You see, the gifts of the Spirit are something that happens by the Spirit of God. And so often we've been focused on making those things happen, making them happen. But it's the Spirit of God that makes it happen. And the Spirit of God is more potent with a lifestyle of abundant fruit. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11 to begin to demonstrate and show the breakdown of how the gifts work. We have the motivational gifts with the Father, the ministry gifts with Yeshua, and the manifestational gifts by the Spirit. The Spirit mandates the leading of these giftings at the specific time that is necessary. So at this moment, we paused and said, you know what, we focused so much on the gifts moving in the church and the church and the church. That's, yes, the church, the assembly, the congregation of the righteous, yes, that's important. But the congregation of the righteous is not a congregation of the righteous without the individuals in the congregation. And now this is not a full license for the individual to just go and do whatever they want. No, where there's order, there are things that have to come together. But what we're concerned with now is that the Father is more concerned about our individual relationship with him. And he wants our individual attention. This is a call to attention right now is what we're experiencing. A call for us to have that focus and that eye contact with the Father, if you will. He wants the individual to move, and he wants the individual to hear what he is speaking. The Father is starting a grassroots revival, and it starts with us. God apportions to each individual. This is something we pulled out from the Amplified. It says that all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. And that's God, what God is doing right now. He's apportioning to each individual exactly as he wills. Now, and that was, I believe, the latter portion of that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11 is what we were looking at. And so that latter portion there is that quote. Last main point, one of the last main points here is that we need to cultivate fruit. We need to cultivate fruit. If an individual does not walk in proper covenant, it's because of a lack of fruit. So if we're not walking in covenant with Yah and fulfilling our end of the bargain, it's because, not bargain, our end of the covenant, our end of the contractual agreement, it's because we're lacking fruit. We've gotten too caught up in gifts, not realizing that they are the product of the fruit. Let me say that again, because you could get lost in the words here. We've gotten too caught up in the gifts, not realizing that they are a product of the fruit that we have. The fruit is also a product of the right climate and environment where God can move and do all the things that he desires. We don't need to make a word of the Lord happen. We must yield our will and our emotions to the will and emotions of the Father in order for the Father's will to guide us and for the fruit to grow in us. One of the last things we talked about on this point about bearing fruit is that throughout history, it's been without question that persecution of the church has been the richest fertilizer for the body of Christ. If we're talking about fruit, we're talking about the agricultural picture. I guess I was mixing both words, Rabbi, allegorical and agricultural. But it is an allegory and it is agricultural that the fruit that's born, having fertilizer on that tree produces more fruit. And we realize that persecution has been the richest fertilizer. Now, finally, we looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And it talks about how we have received the Holy Spirit as an earnest deposit of our inheritance. In other words, our receipt of the Holy Spirit, us manifesting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of this is an earnest, a deposit for the glory that's to come. When you realize that even the gifts of the Spirit are just a small taste of the glory that Yah has for us, that should give us perspective. But know this, the gifts mean nothing without the fruit. So then it's allowing us to put our perspective, allowing us to put our priority in understanding the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll leave you with this one today. As we sanctify ourselves, then the fruit of the Spirit has more room to grow within us. This is one of the last things you had said, Rabbi, last week that really got me. I want to say it again. As we sanctify ourselves, purify and cleanse and purge ourselves, then the fruit of the Spirit has more room to grow within us. This is all about bearing fruit in the midst of tribulation. And I hope that recap gets you guys excited for what's to come today. So, Rabbi, I'm going to pass it on to you at this point.
Amen. Amen. That was awesome. Thank you. One of the things that I felt led to share today is pertaining to, because today is the 24th, and there was a situation that happened, signs in the heavens, if you will, on December the 21st. So that particular sign was the alignment of the stars, and more specifically, the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn. And in the heavens, it made a large star, which some would call the Bethlehem star. Same type of alignment, same similar type of occurrence that happened during the time of Yeshua's birth and the Magi, the wise men. Why bring that up now? The reason why is because just like what was said by Pastor Andre pertaining to this year and the fact that because of the moving upon us from a macro level with the COVID-19 and a lot of other things yet to come, what we need to be focusing on what the Father's desiring us to focus on is our micro. And with that understanding, then as we begin to look at that from a standpoint of also this particular heavenly event, that heavenly event is one that for most believers causes us to refocus our mind and our hearts on Yeshua, the death and the resurrection of Yeshua. So going into this next year, the Father's trying to help us to recalibrate, help us to reset, so that we not only focus on our micro, but also focus on the one that gave us the opportunity to focus on our micro, which is Yeshua. Now, with that being said, there are times in which we, as ministers of the gospel, of the Hebraic gospel, we feel as though we are being redundant. And to a degree, this particular broadcast may seem to some as if it's a redundancy pertaining to the topic that we're going to be discussing. But I want you to understand that Peter went through the exact same thing that I'm having to go through, that the Holy Spirit is having us, Pastor Andre and I, go through today. And if Pastor Andre can get 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And the reason for that is because the Father is speaking to me, speaking to us, and saying, I want you to refresh your focus. I want you to begin to remember what this is all about, why you are here, and what your purpose is. I'm not talking about just the individual purposes, because those are important. But I'm talking about the purpose of Yeshua in your life. And that's what we're going to begin to speak on, because, yes, these are perilous times, and they're going to get so much worse. For some of us, it's going to be unimaginably worse. But we need to understand that these times were spoken, these times were discussed, they were prepared ahead of time. The Father, through Yeshua, prepared his disciples ahead of time. 2 Peter.
All right. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up, stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I'm sorry, I was wondering if I read 1 Peter. But yes, I'll read it again, because I interrupted. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And now for the Amplified. I think it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, tent, or body, to stir you up by way of remembrance. Rabbi.
So in remembrance, what's he referring to? What's he talking about? In remembrance, he's talking about remembering those things that he was already sharing with them pertaining to the things of God, pertaining to Yeshua, pertaining to his coming. All right, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to read that both in the King James and in the Amplified. And I want you to begin to see a pattern here where Yeshua, before Peter, Yeshua would give a heads up, if you will, so that they would be knowing, understanding, and being prepared for what is to befall the world. So that they would be in a homeostasis, they would be in a homocomb, okay, in a protective bubble, so that as all these things were happening all around them, none would affect them. Why? Because they were living Psalms 91, just not reciting the Psalms, but they were living the Psalms, the manifestation of the glory, of the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they went about doing great and wonderful things in the name of Yeshua. They were protected and everywhere they went. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, both King James and Amplified.
All right. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. And that was the end of verse 4. On to the Amplified. Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and point them out to him. But he answered them, Do you see all these? Truly I tell you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, Tell us, when will this take place, and what will be the sign of your coming, and the end, the completion, the consummation of the age? Then Jesus answered them, Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. Rabbi?
Deceiving you and leaving you and leading you into error. In these perilous times, this is exactly what the adversary has planned for this world. Exactly. So what we need to make sure that we understand is that we are so in tune with the Holy Spirit, so in tune with Yeshua, so in tune with the Word. And when I say the Word, I'm not just saying the New Testament. I'm definitely emphasizing the Old Testament in that construct of the Word. And the reason for that is because those prophetic and these prophetic prophecies that we're about to go into are definitely understood and definitely fulfilled in and will be fulfilled in our time, in our season. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. These are familiar to most of you. But as you begin to hear it, I want you to hear it with new, renewed understanding, renewed mind, renewed ears to hear and to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to be refreshed. It's a refreshing time. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 in both the King James and the Amplified.
All right, here we go. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those of them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now for the Amplified. Now also, we would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them, as the rest do who have no hope beyond the grave. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him through Jesus those who have fallen asleep in death. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way proceed into his presence or have any advantage at all over those who have previously fallen asleep in him in death. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. Then we, the living ones who remain on the earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along with the resurrected dead in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always, through the eternity of the eternities, we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words.
Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with these words. This is a time in which we need to be encouraged, because our godly labor is not in vain. You will receive the reward. You will receive the reward that the Father has promised to you. And see, that is something that we need to hold on to. That's something that we need to not just grasp, because it's ours. It's what we need to maintain. Grasping something means you haven't really received it yet. It's close. It's right there, but you're trying to get it, but you can't. But you need to understand that he has promised this to you. This is the greatest of all the promises of God through Yeshua. So that December 21st is something that should reset in every believer's heart what this is all about. Why are we in this game? Because we're in the end portion of the game. And we already understand and know that we win as long as we stay within the construct of the playbook. As long as we do what we know that we ought to be doing in him. As long as we keep our faith and our trust and our strength in him. This is not a time to get in self. This is not a time to get narcissistic. This is not a time to go selfie crazy. This is time for us to focus on him, to focus on what he's called us to do. But we can't do that unless we focus more so on what he's called us to be in him. This is about being first and foremost. Because if I be who he's called me to be, then as I do, the adversary cannot dupe me. He cannot trick me. He cannot ambush me. Why? Because my hope is not in the things and the situations and circumstances of this world. Yes, I want to do extremely well in everything that he's equipped me to do in this world, but I don't want to ever get so caught up in the world that the world becomes a part of me and then it is in me. It's imperative that we begin to understand that we really begin to focus. And as we're leaning into the next biblical feast, which in this case is Passover, we need to get prepared and get ready and get sheared up, because God is doing supernatural things in this particular Passover. There is a supernatural situation that I believe with all my heart that is going to happen, also in the heavenlies. Because the Father is wanting us to be prepared. Because time is so short. And with it being short, we need to understand what he is about. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58 correlates with what was just read with 1 Thessalonians. And within that correlation, one of the things that it's important for us to understand is that some have taught in error that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 is focusing on the second coming of Christ. And that's not the truth here. The second coming of Christ, we come with Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, it was referring to the actual rapture. That's why I was talking about those that were in a, that were asleep versus them going first, and then after that, then us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58, one of the things that you're going to see here is it's going to be, the call is going to even the more clarify what he was talking about to the congregation in Corinth of what he was referring to when he was talking to the Thessalonican congregation. Same type of information, same important tidbits, but yet with a little bit more clarity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58.
All right. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now for the Amplified. Take notice. I tell you a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay. And we shall be changed, transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scriptures that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever, in and unto victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose.
Amen. It is never wasted. It's not futile. We must continue to excel, knowing that we have this present hope in our being. We must continually walk in the fullness of divine appointments to speak to individuals about the Hebraic gospel. We must be ever so present in this earth that we know where our hope and our desire lies. It lies within Him. We must always remember that this is temporal, but where we are to go and be with Him is not only permanent, but it's eternal. We must understand where we are in God's playbook and what He's expecting of us. Revelations chapter 14, verses 1 through 16, kind of gives us an idea. It's more of an end time concept, but it's an idea of how close and how real we are right now in this time and this season. And there's a joy that comes over me, because that's a joy in the Lord, of the Lord, pertaining to the Lord, pertaining to the time that He wants to finish the wedding ceremony, the ancient Jewish wedding ceremony. But as Pastor Andre reads this, I want you to truly pay attention now, because these events are events yet to come, but they're so close upon us right now. They're so close upon us right now that we need to be very much aware, very alert, very sober. Pastor Andre.
Amen. Revelation chapter 14, starting with verse 1 in King James Version. And I looked, and behold, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the throne, or on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now for the Amplified. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 men, who had his name and his father's name inscribed on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of great waters and like the rumbling of mighty thunder. The voice I heard seemed like the music of harpists accompanying themselves on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne of God and before the four living creatures and before the elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin. No one could learn to sing that song except the 144,000 who had been ransomed, purchased, redeemed from the earth. These are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women, for they are pure as virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are they who have been ransomed, purchased, redeemed from among men as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. No lie was found to be upon their lips, for they are blameless, spotless, untainted, without blemish, before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in midair with an eternal gospel, good news, to tell the inhabitants of the earth, to every race and tribe and language and people. And he cried with a mighty voice, revere God and give him glory, honor, and praise and worship. For the hour of his judgment has arrived. Fall down before him. Pay him homage and adoration and worship him who created heaven and earth, the sea and the springs, the fountains of water. Then another angel, a second, followed, declaring, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the maddening wine of her passionate unchastity and idolatry. Then another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a mighty voice, whoever pays homage to the beast and his statue and permits the beast's stamp, mark, inscription to be put on his forehead or on his hand, he too shall have to drink the wine of God's indignation and wrath, poured undiluted into the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest, no peace, day or night. These who pay homage to the beast and to his image, and whoever receives the stamp of his name upon him. Here comes in a call for the steadfastness of the saints, the patience, the endurance of the people of God, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. Verse 13. Then I heard further, perceiving the distinct words of a voice from heaven, saying, write this, blessed, happy, to be envied are the dead from now on who die in the Lord. Yes, blessed, happy, to be envied indeed, says the Spirit, and that they may rest from their labors, for their works, deeds, do follow, attend, accompany them. Again I looked, and behold, I saw a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one resembling a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple sanctuary, calling with a mighty voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, put in your scythe and reap, for the hour has arrived to gather the harvest, for the earth's crop is fully ripened. So he who was sitting upon the cloud swung his sickle on the earth, and the earth's crop was harvested. And that's the verse 16, the last verse there. Rabbi.
Amen. There's so much here, but the order in which it lays out gives us an understanding of not only Yeshua, but it gives us an understanding of Yeshua with the 144,000 select virgin DNA Israelites, 12,000 from each tribe, going out and ministering that gospel. In other passages that we read, it said that the gospel, this gospel, what this gospel? This Hebraic gospel, okay? This Hebraic gospel will be ministered to all the world. By whom? By these DNA Israelis that are already been marked by Yah. So this is a part of that end call, that end game, the playbook that is that is being understood by those who have an ear to hear, by those who are wanting to really hear what is the Father, not just saying, but what is he doing? Where is he going? What is it that he desires? And how can we be in line with that, just like the planets were in line?